Isaiah 66 and verse 15, the word of the Lord says, "For behold, the Lord will come with fire, and with his chariots like a whirlwind, to render his anger with fury and to rebuke with flames of fire. For by fire and by his sword will the Lord plead with all flesh, and the slain of the Lord shall be many. They that sanctify themselves and purify themselves in the gardens behind one tree, in the midst, eating swine's flesh and the abomination and the mouse, and shall be consumed together, saith the Lord. For I know their works and their thoughts. It shall come that I will gather all nations and tongues, and they shall come and see my glory. And I will set a sign among them, and I will send those that escape of them unto the nations, to Tarshish, to Pool, and to Lud, and to draw the bow, to Tubal, and to Javan, to the isles afar off, that have not heard of my fame, neither have seen my glory, and they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. And they shall bring all your brethren for an offering unto the Lord out of all nations, upon horses, and in chariots, and in litters, and upon mules, and upon swift beasts, to my holy mountain, Jerusalem, saith the Lord, as the children of Israel bring an offering in a clean vessel into the house of the Lord. And I will also take of them for priests and for Levites, saith the Lord. And for as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come worship before me, saith the Lord. And they shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that have transgressed against me. For their worms shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched. And they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh." You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the word of the Lord. Verses we read this morning in this latter part of the chapter of Isaiah 66, which is the last chapter of this book, deal with the time of the return of Christ. Now, Isaiah has been called the little Bible, for it is 66 chapters long, as is the Bible 66 books long. And the chapters many times in this book of Isaiah correspond with the corresponding books in terms of subject matter that they deal with and the topics that they deal with along the way. When we get to the end of the book of Isaiah, we are dealing with the end of time. We are dealing with the end of all flesh as we know it here on earth. And in verse number 15, he begins to tell us how that God will send his Son, Christ Jesus, back in wrath to judge the sins of the world, and that he will come with fire. And may I say this morning, it is certain that Jesus is coming back. Just as sure as he did go away into heaven, he will return from heaven. And my friend, he went away on the clouds, coming back on the cloud. Amen. One man said he went away like the Lone Ranger, or went away like Superman, is coming back like the Lone Ranger. And I believe that's about right too. Amen. He'll surely come back, the Bible said, riding a white horse with a sword in his mouth to consume the nations of the earth. And that's what the Scripture teaches us. It will be, my friend, not as a lowly babe in a manger on the second advent, but when he comes back, my friend, it will be as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will rule and reign forever. Amen. And there is no debate about that for those who would read and believe the Bible. And when he returns, he will recompense unto men their evil deeds, resulting in everlasting torment for the unbelieving, and it will be everlasting joy for the redeemed of God. May God help us this morning to understand that there is a real heaven and that there is a real hell, and that real people are going, and you'll not stay, my friend, anywhere in between. There's one place or the other, and you can't stay here, and you need to settle your eternal destination while you're yet in this life. Amen. And so I want to preach this morning, if the Lord had hit me. It's been a long time. Too long, I believe, since I preached on hell. I don't want to preach this morning on a place called hell. A place called hell. Surely, friend, the reality is that Jesus is coming back. And for those that are not ready, hell will be an eternal destination for them. I'm truly thankful this morning for many things. But the thing I'm most thankful for is that I'm not lost. I'm not on my way to hell. I'll not burn in the wrath of God for all eternity. I'm going to tell you this morning, God has no pleasure in the death of the lost man today. He has no pleasure in that. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and believe. And that though it's not the will of God that anybody go to hell, most folks are going that way. They're heading the broad route, the end thereof are the ways of death, it ends in destruction, but many there be which go in thereat. But the straight route that leads to heaven, but the narrow way, my friend, few there be that find it. Though nobody has to go to hell, most folks are going to hell. God have mercy on us. And so I'm preaching this morning on a place called hell. And I want to preach today to your hearts concerning this place. Let me mention a few things this morning about this place called hell. First of all, I want to say there is the certainty of hell. There is the certainty of hell. There should be no doubt whatsoever in the mind of any person who believes the Word of God that there is a place called hell. It's a certainty, friend. Hey, in verse number 15 it said, "For behold, the Lord will come with fire." The latter part of the verse said, "His rebuke with flames of fire." In verse 16, "For by fire and by sword will the Lord plead with all flesh." Verse 24 said, "They shall go forth and look upon the carcasses of the men that transgressed against me, for their worms shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh." There is a place called hell, and this place called hell is so certain, my friend, that it is referred to more often in your King James Bibles than the place called heaven. Everybody wants to believe in heaven. Everybody wants to go to heaven. But most folks are going to hell. Most folks have not received Jesus and settled the issue and know they're saved by grace. And my friend, they are not going to heaven when they die. Most folks are heading to hell. I'm going to tell you something, friend. You don't have to believe in hell to go there. Amen. Just because you don't believe there's a hell, it won't stop hell from being real, and it won't stop you from going to hell. But may I say this too, everybody that's ever gone to hell believes in God, believes in hell, believes the Bible, that they believe too late. Amen. I'm going to tell you, friend, there's not one atheist in hell. When they open their eyes, my friend, for 5 seconds, in the fiery pits of hell, they surely believe there's a God. Amen, that's right. Oh, my Lord, it's referred to all through the Bible. It is a certain place. There is a certainty of hell. We find the word hell used many times in the Scripture. And by the way, not once was it used as a byword, or, my friend, used as a cuss word, or used, my friend, to cast about as a slang language. Amen. I'm going to tell you, hell is more serious a place than to be used in slang language. It's too serious a matter to be tossed about, my friend, and used by vulgar men in evil ways. Amen, that's right. And you ought to be careful about how you use the word hell. Amen. It's a real place of real torment. It's a certain place where people are suffering for eternity, friend. Hear me now. It's referred through all the Bible. And if you go, my friend, and search through the Scriptures, have this word hell. Hell is all through the Old and the New Testament. But hear me. This word we translate hell into the King James Bible has a 3 root words in your Bibles. In the Old Testament we find this word Sheol. It's referred to 65 times in the Old Testament. It is the place of the wicked. It's a place of the wicked dead. is described as deep, dark, with bars, a place that you go down to. In the New Testament, there's two root words for hell. One of them is the word Hades. It, my friend, is a prison with gates and bars and locks. It's a place of eternal separation. That's what we translate in our English language, hell. I'm going to tell you, hell's not a party. Hell's not a shindig. Hell's not a place where your buddies get together. It's a place of bars and of separation. It's a place of imprisonment. It's a place of suffering. It's a place forever, friend. It's a place where the sun never shines, the wind never blows, hope has never failed, times never get better. Hell's a place of eternal suffering and damnation. Oh, yes, that's right. Oh, my friend, then the second word, Greek word that's used, translated in our Bibles, hell, is this word Gehenna, which, my friend, in most of its occurrences in the Greek New Testament, designates the place of the lost, as it is in Matthew 23 and 33. The fearful nature of their condition is described about this place in Matthew 8 and 12, Matthew 13 and 42, Matthew 22 and 13, and in Matthew 25 and 30, and all of them teach us the same thing, that hell is a place of outer darkness, where there shall be weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Hell, my friend, is a place where men's teeth are set on edge, where the pain is unbearable, where the regret is just about more than one can stand, where darkness is here, and even the fire won't light up the bottomless pit of hell. Oh, would you hear me, friend? Hell's a place where the burning of sulfur and, my friend, the stench of the flesh rises up in the nostrils of, my friend, its occupants day and night, and they're constantly in torment, and hear the weeping and the wailing and the crying and the scream of all those, my friend, around them, not knowing whose voice it is that they're hearing. They hear the cry of the crowd, and yet they're all alone. They hear the cry of a voice and wonder, is that my boy? Is that my girl? Is that my mom, my dad, my brother, my sister, my neighbor? Oh, God, are they in hell too? Did I lead them down this path? I heard the rich man, they say, I have five brothers that are coming this same way. Oh, my Lord, and in hell today, he still, hear me, Brother Tracy, he still does not know if his brothers are in hell or not. And when he hears a cry, and when he hears a scream, he wonders, is that one of my brothers? Is that one of my best friends? I'm going to tell you, hell is a place of many torments. And hell is a certain place. It's a certain place. It's a real place, friend, where there's a real fire and real people go. Hell, my friend, hey, hell is not a place where folks sit around and play cards and drink liquor and smoke dope and have a time. Amen. Hell's a place of torment. Amen. That's right. Even the devil cannot enjoy hell. Would you hear me? Hell was created for the devil and his angels. Not as a place for them to reign, but as a place for them to suffer because of their own disobedience to the Lord. Amen, that's right. Hell's a certain place. The certainty of hell, secondly, stay with me now. I know this not the kind of sermon makes you want to walk from the ceilings and to scream and jump up and down and shout hallelujah. We'll do some more of that later on. But this morning I need to preach on a place called hell. I want my children to know there's a place called hell. I want your children to know. I want to warn them to stay out of that place. I want to beg them to get right with God. And nobody in this building will ever have to go to hell.
Amen. That's right. Oh, my friend, the certainty of hell. Secondly, this morning I want to talk to you about the crowd going to hell. The crowd going to hell. The Proverbs 14 and 12 said, there is a way that seemeth right to man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I'm going to tell you, the crowds are going to hell. You're running with the crowds. You're running with the big group. You're running down the same road everybody else is running down. You're running fast, head on, headlong into hell, because the crowd is going to hell. Well, who all's a going to hell, preacher? I'll say everybody that hadn't repented is a going to hell. Jesus said in Luke 13 and 3, and repeated it in Luke 13 and 5, nay, I say unto you, I tell you nay, but except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Everybody that hadn't repented is a going to hell. Mark 16 and 16 said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. I'm going to tell you, everybody who has not believed is going to hell. John 3 and 18 said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed on the name of the Son, only begotten Son of God. John 3 and 36, Jesus said, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Oh, my friend, 1 John 5 and 10 says, he that believeth on the Son hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Who's going to hell? Revelation 21 and 8 said, but the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burning with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. May I tell you, fire and torment will be your home unless you make Jesus your Lord and Savior. Jesus will either be your Savior or hell will be your home. Amen. Oh, yes, it's right. Oh, yes, it's right. No, we're not all serving the same God. And all religions are not the same. And believing in something is not just as good as being a Christian. Because they say, well, you just need to believe in something. We all need to believe in something. And as long as you believe in something, it's all right. Man, I'm going to tell you, a dog howls at the moon at night, but it doesn't mean he's done got born again. Would you hear me? You'll have to believe on the Son. Not just believe in the Son. You'll have to believe on the Son. You'll have to trust the Son of God to save your soul from sin and from hell. You hear what I'm preaching this morning? I know it ain't preached much no more. I know that. I realize that, my friend, that most preachers are shy away from it. Many of them are absolutely reluctant to preach it at all. Won't even go there. Won't even deal with it at all. And hey, no preacher in his right mind relishes the thoughts of preaching on hell. Nobody in their right mind wants to dwell and think about hell. But I'm going to tell you, as long as we're shirking the subject and pushing it off, men are slipping off day by day by day by day into hell. Wow, we don't want to have to deal with it. Amen. And I'm concerned about our folks getting saved. I want our youngest to stay out of hell. Amen. Oh, that's right. That's right. Who's going? What's the crowd going to hell? I'm going to tell you Revelation 21, 8. I'm going to break this verse down just a little bit. Remember it said, the fearful, unbelieving, abominable murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Who's going to hell? I want to say, first of all, the rebel is going to hell. Amen. He said the abominable will go to hell. Hear me. Whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters. I'm going to tell you, the sinner who indulges shamelessly, my friend, in perversions, is surely on his way to hell. He's stiffened his neck against God. against God's man and God's word. And hey, the man that had been often reproved, Proverbs 31, he'd been often reproved, and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed. And that without remedy, I'm going to tell you, many have gotten a rebel, my friend, a rebellious spirit. Many a rebel's got a stiff neck, and he's turned his face and his fist against God, and said, I will not heed the word of the Lord. And God knows what I'm doing, and he don't care. And I'll do my own thing and go my own way. And they're going straight to hell. And my friend, in their sin and perversions and in their idolatry.
Oh yes, I'm talking about them that's running about with somebody else's wife, dabbling in the occult, maybe my friend involved in the perverted acts between others of the same kind of flesh, and even my friend with other beasts and things. We're living in a day of great perversion and of great evil and wickedness on every side. Oh, and men excuse it and make a mockery out of God's law. But I tell you, be not deceived. God is not mocked. And whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he soweth to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. And if he soweth to the Spirit, he shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. Oh, my friend, hear me. You can't do wrong and get by. Be sure your sin will find you out. Get a stiff neck today. Hear me. Get a stiff neck. I rebel against the preaching of the Word of God. God pricks your heart. The Holy Ghost deals with your heart. But down on the inside, you get rebellious and stiff-necked. And decide, I'll not go that route. And I'm sick of that preacher preaching on hell and sin. And I'll do my own thing. And I'll do what I want to do, and nobody can do nothing about it. But hear me. One day you're going to stand before God. You're going to give an account. You're going to answer for this life. And what will you say? What he said, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you.
Bound hand and foot and cast into outer darkness, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not. Amen. The rebel is going to hell. I want to say the religious folks are going to hell. Amen. Well, preacher, that's what I thought you wanted me to do this morning, get religion. No, I want you to get right with God. Amen. There's a lot of folks got religion, and they're going to hell at a breakneck speed. Amen. Religious folks are going to hell. Look what the verse said in the very beginning of who's going to hell but the fearful and unbelieving. How many folks have sat on the church pew every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, but down in their heart they're unbelieving? They've attended church, but they won't trust the Savior. Amen. They're unbelieving. They're religious, but they're lost. Well, they've got a profession, but not a position. Hey, my friend, maybe they've toted their rosary beads and rubbed their little cross in their pocket. And they've, my friend, asked the statue of the St. Jude on their, my friend, dashboard of their car to help them. They prayed that Mary would do something. But all the while the priest is sitting in the booth, could not save their soul. And Jesus with hands pierced and blood from his side, is tenderly calling, come home, come home, come home. Religion can't save you. I'll tell you, it'll take redemption from the precious blood of Jesus Christ. You can pedal a bicycle until your legs are worn off to nubs and try to tell folks about the Latter-day Saints and knock on every door in the community and my friend, trying to work your way into 144,000. Be baptized, my friend, by every Baptist preacher in America. But if you've never accepted Christ and trusted him to save you, hell will be your final hope in spite of all your religion. Hear me this morning. People die and they want a cross hung around their neck. Isn't that right? They want a Bible put in the foot of their casket. They want a preacher to come to the funeral and say kind words and read pretty poems, isn't that right? And tell everybody how they went to heaven when they died and how good a fellow they were. It don't matter if there's an axe murderer. I'm going to tell you, they want the preacher to come and say what a good fellow they were and all the good things that they did. Sometimes you got to look long and hard or lie, one of the two. Amen. About some folks. One fellow said he couldn't think of nothing else, so he got up and told him, oh man, this fellow sure was a good whistler. Well, you got to look long and hard for some folks, haven't you? I'm telling you, hey, but they want all of these things to be done. Then they want to have a church service at their funeral, and maybe even have it in a church or in a chapel. Get buried in the church cemetery. Isn't that right? Have a cross on the tombstone. But I'm going to tell you, all the religious symbols, all the preachers, all my friend, the candlelight services, all the vigils, all those that pass by your casket and shake their head and say, what a shame. Not a one of those things can keep a soul out of hell. While you're yet breathing, you're going to have to accept Christ when He calls on you. Amen. The religious is going to hell. I'm going to tell you, the repeat procrastinator is going to hell. The repeat procrastinator is going to hell. Hear me this morning. The verse said, but the fearful. You know what that's talking about? It's talking about those folks that were afraid to get right with God. They were afraid of what they'd have to give up. They were afraid of the things that they might have to quit. They were afraid of separating themselves from the world. They were afraid to call themselves a child of God. Hear me now. But the fearful, they feared to get saved. They were afraid to give up the world and what it offers. They say, not now, maybe later. Oh, next week, when I'm older, when my wife or my husband gets right, then I'll get right. God warned you, but you said, I'll get oil in my lamp later. Hey, hear me. The devil says, don't get it right today. Wait till next Sunday. Wait till next week. Wait till summer revival. I tell you, you better get saved while God's a calling on your heart. And I'm dealing with your soul before you find yourself in the twinkling of an eye in hell without hope. Brother Eddie pulled me aside before the service this morning and asked me about a certain person he knows. Said they broke her leg. Said, have you heard about it? I said, no. He said, they broke her leg. Went into surgery to have surgery on a broken leg. Seemed like no big deal, does it? Well, does their blood clot got loose, went straight to their heart and killed them instantly. While they were under the knife and under the anesthesia, didn't even know what was going, never knew what hit them, never had a moment to prepare, never had a moment's notice, never had a sick bed. My friend never dreamed that this would be the end of things. Routine surgery, no big deal. Supposed to be in and out, maybe home the same day, all this kind of stuff. But that fast, going out to meet God in eternity. I'm going to tell you, friend, you're not promised of the altar call service. You're not promised, my friend, you'll get to come back tonight. You're not promised that you'll ever eat a pint of lunch today. You're not promised, my friend. And my friend, one more day, one more minute, one more hour. You may be wearing the suit of clothes you'll die in. Hear me, you may, my friend. The gas may be in the hearse that'll carry your carcass to the graveyard. Amen. The casket may already be waiting at the funeral home for you. You better get right with God while God's a calling and quit procrastinating. Oh, yes, that's right. I'll do it when I get older, preacher. I'm not ready now. I'm young and I'll sow my wild oats. You may be digging a grave instead. Instead of sowing oats and plowing the fields, you may be digging a grave. Amen. You may never see old age. Would you young people hear me? You may never see old age. And if you do see old age, you may never get the touch of God on your heart again. Oh, you're not promised that. God ain't obligated to deal with you. He's not obligated time and again come to you though you reject Him and beg you to get right. You better get saved when God calls on you. Amen. Amen. If He convicts you and takes time out of His schedule with all the people breathing air on earth tonight, today to deal with your heart and draw to you the altar of repentance, you'd be a stark raving fool to push Him away. Oh, the crowd are going to hell. I want to say the righteous are going to hell. Righteous. Yeah, self-righteous.
those that thought they had all the things done just right. They had mashed every button, flipped every switch, pulled every cord, and done everything just right. They marched to the beat of the local Baptist preacher's drum. Amen. They wore their clothes just like him. They cut their hair just like him, which in the case of me right now, been about 3 or 4 weeks without a haircut. I wouldn't recommend it. But they cut their hair just like him. They went and did just like him. They used the same words he used. They learned how to sit down and stand up, cross their legs and put their hand out and say amen. They sang in the choir. They taught Sunday school. They did all of that. Those things, but they never accepted Christ as their Savior. They professed to be wise, but inwardly they were fools, believing themselves to be right with God. And even my friend, accepting religion rather than a relationship with Christ, accepting rules and regulations, and saying this means I must be right, but never having a personal experience with the Lord. Hear me, friend. It's not about all the things that you do or don't do. It's about what Christ has done in you. That's what will keep you out of hell. It's the work of God in you. You cannot save yourself. Salvation is of the Lord. It's not of baptism. It's of the Lord. It's not of works. It's of the Lord. It's not of the preacher of the church. It's of the Lord. Would you hear me? You'll either get saved through Christ or you'll go to hell without God. Many are professing but not possessing. They're Baptists but not born again. They're church members but not Christians. Hear me, don't be confused. I've heard many a testimony where a testifier stated, I was not satisfied with my salvation. I was not satisfied with my soul's condition. My friend, with my forgiveness, but I was afraid of what somebody else would think. Why, I was a Sunday school teacher. I was a deacon. I was a preacher's wife. Everybody thought I was saved. I couldn't go down in front of that crowd and get saved and everybody find out that I'd been living a lie all this time. I'm going to tell you, friend, I'd rather get embarrassed than go to hell. Amen. I'm going to tell you, you better get right with God. That's what you better do. I was a church member when I got saved. Been baptized, a preacher's grandboy. Amen. That's right. All the other 10 folks at church, I said, why don't you straighten up and do like he does? What they didn't know was their problem was as doing like I was. Amen, that's right. But when God began to deal with my heart, that 25th of June, 1989, I said to myself, I'm not worried about what anybody thinks. I've got to stay out of hell. I've got to get right with God. Hear me. I've seen them in this church members, officers of the church, preachers' wives, come to this altar and get saved. You know what, Brother Eddie? Not one time. You've been here all along. Not one time. Have I seen anybody make a mockery out of them, laugh at them, make fun of them, and say, I can't believe this? I've heard them say, man, I thought they're saved all along. I sure am glad they finally got in. I never have heard them make fun of them, make a mockery or laugh at them about it. They rejoice with them. I don't care if your name's on this church roll and 50 others too. You better get saved, what you better do. You better get your name in heaven. You better get right with God. You better trust Jesus. You better forget about the crowd and accept Christ. I don't care if you joined 2 weeks ago and told everybody you're saved. You're embarrassed about all that. And the Lord revealed to you this morning you're lost. You ought to get saved this morning quick as what you can. I wouldn't worry about waiting until I start to give invitation. I will in just a minute. I'm preaching to everybody else right now. If God deal with you, my preaching to you is probably done. You need to come get saved. Hey, man, I'd run to the altar while the preaching's going on, get in the altar and get right with God. I'd preach to everybody else while you're doing business with God. Hey, man, I mean, get saved while God's a calling on you. The crowd are going to hell, the certainty of hell. Let me talk to you about the character of hell. What is hell like? Verse number 24 of this chapter where we read said, and they shall go forth, look upon the carcass of the men that have transgressed against me, and their worms shall not die, neither shall their fire be quenched, and they shall be an abhorring unto all flesh. I'm going to tell you, hell is a place of pain. It's a place where the Bible said their worms shall not die. It's a place where men are in torment, but they never die. They are in pain, but they never die. They're always dying, but they're never dead. I'm going to tell you, hell's a place where the pain never ends. Hell's a place where the pain never ends. It's a place of pain. I want to say hell's a place of punishment.
It says, neither shall the fire be quenched. I'm going to tell you, the wrath of God is everlasting. It's eternal, just as God is. And hell is a place where the fire never goes out. It never lightens up. Hell never gets easier the next day as it was the day before. But it's eternal and everlasting damnation and death. You better get saved. I'm going to tell you, you may not know it this morning, but you don't want to go to hell. The character of hell. And then I'm going to close this morning with this. The cross that saves from hell. There's only one way out. I've mentioned it 40 times and I'll say it again. There's only one way to stay out of hell. And that's through Christ Jesus our Lord. He came to the cross of Calvary. Came to this world to die for sin and for sinners. So you and me, so we would not have to go to hell. You hear me? Jesus came for the purpose to keep you out of hell. Amen. To save you from hell. John 3:14, Jesus began speaking and said unto Nicodemus, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Friend, it's either the cross or it is the curse. It's either Jesus or it's hell. It's either accept Christ or die lost. One of the two, hear me now. It's not a matter of 50 choices. It's a matter of accepting Christ, God's only begotten Son, or rejecting him and going to hell without hope. And Jesus became a curse for us on the tree to save people like you and me from the curse. And to save us from hell. Oh, how he suffered that we might be redeemed. Amen. The pangs of hell caught hold on his soul as he suffered on the cross of Calvary. And my friend took our hell, if you will, for us on the cross, and even descended into the pits of the deep and brought captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. He brought those, my friend, of the Old Testament from that of paradise to spend eternity with him who had believed on him, my friend, looking forward in faith. And though we believe on him in retrospect, we trust the same Christ that they trusted to save us. He went to the pits of hell, took the keys of death, hell, and the grave from the devil, and became conqueror over it all. He took our hell for us so we wouldn't have to go to hell. We see but a glimpse of it. As we look at the cross of Calvary, we see the offering of his body on the cross that we cannot even imagine how he suffered it. He offered his very soul, an offering for sin unto his Father, so we could be saved. How he suffered for you and for me. And he did it to keep us out of hell. And I ought to make you want to run a country mile this morning to know that he suffered. It ought to save you from hell. Oh, yes, that's right. Oh, they pulled a bag over his head and beat him indiscriminately. How viciously, my friend. His teeth were beaten from their sockets. And Isaiah 52:14 says, his visage was so marred, more than any other man. You couldn't even recognize him. And he did it to keep you out of hell so you wouldn't have to go to hell. He faced vilest whipping posts. And Smith's Bible Dictionary says that it was common for a man to have his intricles are hanging out of his body after being beaten 39 lashes with a cat of nine tails. And he did it to keep you out of hell so you wouldn't have to go to hell. Oh, my friend, how he suffered. Has saved you and me. They laid an old rugged cross on his back. He walked a bloody mile up Calvary's hill. And every time he took a step, he looked through time to see the people and hear the gospel message. Woo! And be saved from the pit of hell. He saw you and saw me. And he even prayed for us in the Garden of Gethsemane. Oh, how he suffered to keep us out of hell. He reached the apex of Calvary's hill. And by the eye of faith, I could just about see him lay down his sinless hand as a tall Roman soldier took hold of it and fastened it to the cross with a long rusty Roman spike. And as he drove it through his hands and his feet that were crossed, every time the hammer struck, my friend would call out in agony. Oh yes, Father, thy will be done. I'll drink the cup of wrath that keep little people that'll trust in me, sinners. October powers out of hell. I'll do it for him. I'll pay the price. I'll suffer so he doesn't have to go to hell. Amen. Hey. Woo! I see the shadow of the cross as he raised it up in the air. I hear the thud as it lands in the hole prepared for it. I see as his body comes completely out of joint and he pulls up painfully for one more breath. When I hoped that he'd pull up no more and death it seemed would be a blessing. Well, he pulled up once more and gasped for breath and says to me by faith, I'll suffer the wrath of God today so you can be free from it in eternity. I'm doing this to keep you out of hell. By faith, I see his sinless blood drain from the old rugged cross as the spears pierced in his side and it streamed to where I was. And later, my friend, to the throne where it's deposited forevermore. And there forgives my sins day by day. Woo! Hallelujah! For my redemption, my reconciliation. Hey, pay the price for me. Woo! So I wouldn't have to go to hell. Well, and he suffered it all. That keep me. Woo! That keep me out of hell. He paid the price. Woo! And he did it willingly. No man took his life from him. But he laid his life down. Oh, but 3 days in the tomb, I see him lie there and wonder if anything's ever going to happen. But on the blessed Easter morning, he that laid his life down took it up again, rose from the dead, and said, oh, you don't have to go to hell. For he said, because I live, ye can live also. Hallelujah! There's deliverance from a place called hell. Woo! Bless his high holy name. Woo! Boy, I'm glad I'm saved. Oh, he did it all to save us from a place called hell. Woo! Hallelujah. My Lord. When I was about 14 years old, first started preaching. When I was about 14 years old, preaching on hell. Folk come to me after the service and say, how in the world, preacher, can you shout while you're preaching on hell? And I said then, I'll say it again this morning, because I'm glad I don't have to go. Woo! The only fire I'll ever feel is burning in my heart. I've been delivered. Oh, I'm so glad he found me. Well, I'm so glad he brought me out of where I was. Changed my course. Changed my eternal destination. I'm his and he's mine. Woo! I'm glad I don't have to go. Woo! And I'm going to tell you, I'm glad my children don't have to go. And I'm preaching to you that you don't have to go. Woo! The drunkard on the street, I'm telling you that, don't panic. Hey, hey, the axe murderer, whoever he might be, does not have to go. There's deliverance from a place called hell. Woo! Bless his high and holy name. Hallelujah. Somebody won the sweepstakes. Gonna jump up and down. Run around the street in their pajamas. Woo! And they gonna leave it all behind. And I've got treasures laid up. where moth and dust cannot corrupt and thieves can't break through and steal. You ought to give me a little indulgence and pardon me this morning while I have a conniption fit, and thank God that I'm saved and don't have to go to hell. Hey! And tell your children and mine that they too can escape hell. Amen. He did it all to save you and me. Amen. Well, would you come on sing, says he suffered it all because he loved me. Woo! When I didn't even know how to love, didn't even know what love was, didn't know he was even paying attention to me. God didn't cross my mind. He come along where I was, convicted me of my sins. And today I can say I love him because he first loved me. Woo! And loved me with an everlasting love. And I don't have to go to hell. Thank God. There is a terrible place called hell. And most folks aren't going. Nobody wants to go to hell. And nobody has to go to hell. That Jesus is the only escape from the eternal wrath of God in hell. Would you trust him to save you from your sins today? Would you repent of what you've done, the person you've been, and believe on him to change you forever? If you're born again, would you rejoice? Not because the demons are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your name. Woo! Your name's written in heaven. Amen. Oh, he suffered it all because he loved me. Stand with us, please. If you need to pray, I'll be through God. Woo! Bless his name. Bless his name. Hallelujah. Folks are praying. There may be somebody in this altar praying for you.
On a hill called Calvary.
Maybe somebody
Jesus
here calling
Lord
your name.
Suffered for me.
Carry
the cross all the way. My sins to atone. Great was the pain and the loss he suffered it all.
Trust God, because he lives, we can live also.
Because he loves me.
Because he lives,
me.
Our youngest can live also. The promises unto you and your children,
and
even unto as many as the Lord our God shall come. And
no
they can be the sons
of
God. Hallelujah.
Suffered it all.
There came a curse for me to take the curse from me. Oh, bless his name. Oh, bless his name.
Then they carried him away.
That's it.
Placed him in the lowly grave. Surely they
Woo!
Thought that this would be
name.
The end of
but
this
man. But he that
laid
his life down had that power. Had the power to take it up again.
Glorious day.
Hey!
Sunday men rolled
hey!
The stone away.
Caves of death and hell.
Rose from the
well, it's not up to the devil if you'll go to hell.
Because he
it's
loved me.
Because
he loved me. The Savior died.
Oh, yes,
the cross was crucified.
Woo!
The greater love a mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise his dear name.
Woo!
Loves me so. Now I am his. He's mine. I know.
Woo!
He suffered it all because he
bless
loved
his name.
Me.
Sing on.
Then they laid him in a grave.
Oh, yes,
in a lonely grave. Surely they
just
thought
again.
That this would
hallelujah.
Be the end of this
they said
man.
That the Savior said he'll rise again.
Oh, that on that
third
and glorious day,
that
came and rolled the stone away. He rose from the dead.
Time.
Just
I
because he loved me.
Hallelujah.
Because he loved me, my Savior died. Oh, the cross was crucified. No greater love a mortal man has ever been known. Oh, praise his dear name, he loves me so. Now I am his, he's mine, I know. He suffered it all. Because he loved me.
Say a course again.
Because he loved me, my Savior died. On a cross was crucified. No greater love a mortal man has ever been known.
That's right.
Oh, praise his dear name. He loves me so. Now I am his. He's mine. I know he suffered it all. Because he loved me.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hey, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right, Sonia. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad I'm in. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. Amen. God, help her and bless her, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Boy, isn't it amazing somebody give you a tie at Christmas time you don't even like. You'll say thank you. And the Lord is saving you from hell. And you don't even want to raise your hand. Amen. Boy, I'm glad I'm saved. You think what you want to about the way I act. I've been doing this 18 years now. Nearly 19 years and I ain't changing none. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved. Amen. To God be the glory. You ought to make your call in the election sure if you don't know. You need to know. You need to know. Oh, it's settled. Settled. The old account settled long ago. Down on my knees, I settled it all. The old account was settled long ago. Hey, man. Brother Charles, a church member, one of the first members of this church, not the charter members, but soon thereafter, about a month later, first members of this church. Been a member of this church for years. Officer of this church pulled me aside one Sunday morning. Back there during Sunday school. Said, "Preacher, I need to talk with you." I thought he was mad about something. During the study back there. I said, "What you need, Brother Charles?" He looked up at me in tears in his eyes. He said, "I tell you what I need. I'm lost and I need to get saved. I just got to get saved." I said, "Well, you don't need to talk to me. You need to talk to the Lord." Got on his knees and got down, my friend, and got a victory. Come up with his hands raised and said, "I'm glad I got it. I know I'm saved." Amen. That's right. Boy, you need to make your account settled. Make sure you're saved. Amen. Sister Charity, come down this altar. Preacher's wife. Preacher's wife. Been a preacher's wife for years. Come down this altar. I didn't know what was the matter with her. I just knew she'd come and pray. Didn't even think a thing in the world about coming to the altar. She come to the altar and prayed. Went back so happy and jumping up and down. I thought, boy, she got victory over something. Grabbed Brother Matthew around the neck, hugged his neck. He went running around and shouting and acting up. I didn't know what was the matter with him. She went hugging other folks' neck and shouting. I didn't know what was going on. I thought, man, whatever it is, it's good. Now I can. She isn't letting them all know. I just got saved. God showed me I was lost. I never got in. I'm glad I'm saved. I want to hear you, friend. Hear me. It's not religion. It's Jesus. And he can save you. Amen. Well, I'd make my call and election sure. I'd make it sure. Amen. Oh, yes. Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, Brother Nick come down the altar and he'd say, I need to get saved. And he'd get right and he'd pray and he'd water and he'd squall and he'd pray. He'd go back to his altar, his pew, and then he'd hug my neck and he'd say, I know I need to get things right, not knowing what to do. Got out to Alabama one night. Everybody else rejoiced. Everybody else shouted. Everybody else run around. Everybody else praised God. Everybody else prayed in the altar. When the meeting is over, he said, I need to talk to you. And so when the meeting is over, I sat down with him. He said, I'll tell you what I need to talk to you about. I just need to get saved. What's the matter with
with me. I said, well, son, why, you don't need to talk to me. You need to talk to the Lord. We got an altar. A few minutes of Victor come by, and he said, I know I've got it. I know I'm saved. Little Tasha come down the altar here while I was preaching on the immutability of his counsel and how God never changes how to save sinners. She knelt down right here in this altar. I got it on tape while she was praying, because my mic is still on. I was down there praying with her. And she was praying and asking God, oh, God, save me. Oh, God, save me. Somebody said, I don't know how to pray. Can you say that? Oh, God, save me. And just a little bit, she looked up and she said, oh, God saved me. Oh, God saved me. She said, I got it. I got it. I really got it. Oh, God saved me. Oh, I'm going to tell you something, friend. I've watched them all over the building today. People all over this building, God save them. And he's no different now than he was then. Little TJ, when the service is over, come over to the side by himself. Nobody around. Just him in the altar trying to do business, weeping his way to God. But he said, I got it settled and it's done. And he did what he said do, and he saved me. I'm going to tell you, God works just like that. And he saves sinners. I never will forget Brock standing up over here, 71 years old. His mama squalling and sounding him saying, I want to tell you, Sunday night under an oak tree out in Fort Payne, Alabama, I asked God to save me. And he did just what he said he would. After all I've done, he saved me. I'll never forget the first time Brother Tony stood and testified in this church building right about where he is now. And stood and said, I got down with hay about near my car riding down the road. And I turned it over to the Lord and he saved me. And he's still saved today. I'm going to tell you something, friend. God is in the saving business. And that's the only thing that will keep you out of hell. And you wonder why I act like I do? You ain't been around long enough. Oh, yes. I could go on further if I wanted to, couldn't I? I could go on further if I wanted to. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, he's a saving God. Your only hope is in Jesus. But I'm glad I know him. You can know him too. Well, I ain't done, but I gotta quit. Gotta quit. My body tells me I gotta quit, and some of you, the way you're looking, tells me I gotta quit. Some of you telling me to go on. We're just gonna hit the pause button and come back this evening and resume where we left off. Amen. Oh yes. Oh yes. I wonder how many times you ever just come to church with on your mind what you got on your mind right now. I mean, really, with that mindset of worship. Can you imagine what would happen by the end of the meeting if you'd come and shape you in right now? Well, these walls might have to be put back up. Amen. But if it got that wild, the Lord would supply the money to take care of it. Amen. Paul Golden used to get excited and he'd say, if you feel like it, just swing a pew. Amen. Thank God. Boy, that's getting keyed up, ain't it? Well, I appreciate you. Let's bow our heads together. Ask the Lord to help us as we depart. And we appreciate each one of you being here. Brother Anthony, if you would, lead us, Lord, in the word of prayer and dismiss us.